Well, good evening and welcome to Crosswalk Talk Radio. Crosswalk Talk is a production of Crosswalk Life, and we are so happy to have you with us tonight. We are going to be hearing the voice of the Lord for you. Crosswalk Talk is your opportunity to hear true stories, hear the voice of the Lord, hear what God is doing today and wants to do in your life now and in the future. It's not just about what God used to do or could do, but what He wants to do is He lives through you if you're a believer. Tonight we have Prophet Rita Phillips again with us, and we have decided that we're going to be offering this personal prophetic ministry more often because, frankly, you have spoken. Ever since we first began Crosswalk Talk Radio in 2005, we have never had more interest in this program as far as people calling in than when we offer personal prophetic prayer ministry. And we're going to be talking about what that is. And I want to welcome Prophet Rita to the program. How are you tonight?
I am doing excellent. It is so good to hear your voice.
And yours, but especially the voice of the Lord. Would you like to go ahead and pray?
I'd be happy to. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise and we glorify your name for all that you have planned for tonight. We thank you, my God, for the anointing that breaks the yoke. We thank you for what you have planned for this evening and what you have planned to release and your love that you have planned to release. Oh, Father, so many of us need to know your voice and to know your plan for our lives.
Thank you.
I thank you, Holy One, that you will release your word and release encouragement, edification, and exhortation. And I thank you, Father, that we can trust you to be our all in all. And I pray, Lord, that through this evening, that everyone that calls and seeks to hear your voice will receive the ministry from your heart of compassion and love. And Father, if there's correction, we'll receive it.
Yes,
and we'll keep on going because we know that you're always one that will enable us to press and to continue into the calling and destiny that you've placed upon our life.
Amen.
We give you praise, Father, for your presence and for your love.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for your power and your presence and anointing. And we thank you that even if we have no intro on this program, that you're all the introduction we need. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are our high tower and you are our righteousness and you're our shield of faith and that you create all things and also create them through us with the voice of the Lord. We thank you that we can take everything that you say to us and know that you're faithful, 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 and that we can declare it and decree it and know that it will manifest as we cooperate with your word. We just thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, I want to welcome Prophet Rita with us again tonight. It's such a joy for us to work together after so many years that we began together in training, prophets in training, and it's just such a joy to have you here tonight. And we want to share some of the things that we have found that the Holy Spirit has as guidelines, because ever since there were schools of the prophets in the Old Testament, there have been guidelines, and it has been such a joy to us to have some similar training and similar respect for these biblical principles, because we can work together in confidence knowing that we both respect the Holy Spirit's guidelines. How are you tonight, Prophet Rita?
I am doing great. How about you?
I'm doing good, too, because we don't let a little bit of adversity scare us, do we?
No. No fear.
Uh-oh. I just hit the wrong button again. Okay. No fear. I just want people to know that we do have some principles. We do have what we call a protocol, not to any way limit the Holy Spirit, but because we've observed the ways of the Lord, the wonderful ways of the Lord, and we are willing to be judged, and we do want you to listen. We want you to take notes if you want, and if you have a recorder or something there, you can make your own recording, but this will be in the archives. If not on Blog Talk Radio, it looks like we're going to have to trim off the first couple minutes. It will be at Now Faith TV. And so, Prophet Rita, just share with me, you know, let's go back and forth here. What are some of the things that you have seen that you would call a guideline for prophetic ministry?
That's a very good question, Prophet Carlotta. The major thing that I learned, and learned very quickly as a young prophet coming up in the Lord, that there were particular areas that we left alone and didn't enter into, that we would leave them for the mature and the seasoned prophet or apostle, apostolic minister. Mm-hmm. And there are five of those areas. And you, when you hear those areas, you will understand the reason and the wisdom behind not going into those areas. Because in doing so, if you did it in air, you could wreak havoc in a person's life.
Amen.
And cause many problems. And the five areas, the five particular areas, not particularly in the order that is of the most importance, but the five areas are marriage. In other words, you're not to prophesy marriage, babies. You're not to prophesy babies. The fivefold office, the callings and of the ascension gifts, which would be the prophet, apostle, evangelist, teacher, and pastor. Those areas are not to be prophesied to. However, God and through the Holy Spirit has given us a grace where we are able to minister in such a way that you would know and have a witness in your spirit that this is an area that God is calling you. And what I mean by that is there's a way that you could prophesy the evangelistic thrust in your life, or the Lord says, I've given you the ability to teach.
Or the apostolic anointing, but not tell them God's called you to be an apostle.
That's correct. And and so, let's see, I have to go back to the areas that I've already spoken to. Geographical moves.
Definitely.
Very key. And
death. We don't prophesy death. Can I comment on that too?
Yes.
Just real quickly, what we're saying is it's not that we would limit the Holy Spirit. We are noticing over the years and through those that taught us that he leaves prophecies in this area to the people that are up the chain of authority, maybe, or you would submit it to that person's pastor or apostle first, or you would be released to prophesy this. And I have some stories I could tell about people that violated these rules. But that means that it might put someone in bondage. If you prophesy to someone that they're going to marry this tall, blue-eyed blonde, they're going to wear their eyeballs out looking for that person, aren't they? It's just going to put them in bondage. It's better just to leave it alone. Or if you prophesy that someone's going to have a baby, well, then everybody in the church is going to be watching them to see if they're pregnant yet, and it can cause hurt. Fivefold office calls, we've pretty much explained that you can say someone has an anointing. And it's, Prophet Reed, I kind of compare it to if you're teaching in a university, you're only allowed to teach core courses to people that have a lesser degree than you. That means you can't teach a major core course to doctoral students if you only have a master's. And it's kind of like that, that God is going to work through the chain of authority.
That's a very good way of putting it.
And if you don't, you know, if you're just green starting out, God's not going to have you telling people that they're going to be apostles and prophets, or that they are, because he's still trying to make it clear to you what you are. You know, so we especially don't prophesy anything to do with death, and I've seen hurt with that too. You know, I've seen someone prophesy that someone had cancer all over their body, and they didn't even have any cancer. And so we just need to really know our place in the body and submit serious words like that to seasoned prophets, and also geographical moves. If someone is told that they're going to up and move to New York, they may up and quit their job based on your word. So you need to just leave those real serious decisions to the seasoned prophets. And frankly, I almost never prophesy specific dates. I'll give them a general idea. But God almost never has me do a specific date, because that also puts a person in bondage sometimes.
Exactly. And the one thing that I learned, I will never forget it. One Friday evening, I was leading team, presbytery team, and I was ministering over a particular person, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me that this person would experience martyrism, and I was like, oh my God, and I prayed and I said, Lord, how can I express this and be within obedience and submission? And what the Lord and the Holy Spirit spoke to me was just to explain that we are now in the days in many lands, even people are experiencing martyrism. And it is something that is happening to many people. It was vague, but it was off my heart and off my spirit. The strength of what God had said, and of course, because of the Father's heart that's within me, I carried it to prayer to the Lord after that, for grace and for the enablement to be able to do all that this person had ahead of them, that they would be walking through the path that they would be walking upon.
And Rita, you are such a good example. That's why you are not only a team leader, team trainer, but over all the prophetic teams, is of being submitted, saying, Lord, how do you want this delivered? I know that you've worked through my leadership to give me these guidelines. Now, how do you want it delivered? Because delivery can be almost everything with a prophetic word. Almost everything.
That's very true. And I've learned that in the youth and those that are coming up and being trained, God has graced so many with the eye of discernment and the discerning of spirits, and the depth of it is almost overwhelming. And they're immediate reaction is, I'm going to prophesy. God showed it to me. And when you are ministering on a presbytery team with a team and with a group of people in the midst of the team to receive ministry, those are areas that you are very gentle in addressing. Mm-hmm. Usually, by prophesying God's will and what his word declares in place of the negative.
Amen. I call that prophesying to the results. I don't know if that's on our list tonight, but I think that you made an excellent point, and I'll just put a catchphrase on it. Mm-hmm. Anybody can prophesy about the problem, and it can come across critical and wounding, and that person may remember that and not even remember God's vision and plan and purpose for them because they were so embarrassed or wounded. People know what their faults are to some degree, maybe only on the surface level, but to some degree. And if we prophesy to the results, then the person that's hearing it will know. They'll know that God is saying, I'm going to make your weak place strong. We don't have to outline all their weaknesses to them. And also, I believe another important point about delivery, Rita, is that we need to phrase the prophecy in a way that the person understands that it's conditional. Because some people will prophesy that you are going to do this, that, and the other, and it's going to be huge, you know, and it's going to be millions of people, and you're going to have millions of dollars and all this stuff. And they're so excited about presenting all that that they don't say, if you agree with me, if you obey me, if you... And there's always some condition in a prophecy, I believe. That's my take on it.
There is. And along the same line of what you're saying, as the Lord would speak, that I'm sending you to the nations, and you will speak my word in the nations, and you hold this prophetic word in your hand because you've been wise enough to have it recorded, and you've been wise enough to transcribe it, because it's always different from hearing it to reading it in the written word. But if you have it in your hand and you're wondering, well, Lord, when am I going to the nations?
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't even gotten your passport. I mean, you have to position yourself, posture yourself for the fulfillment of the word. In the same manner, if the Lord says, I'm going to cause you to be mentored and to be taught by somebody that moves in this particular area with a strong anointing, your responsibility is to pray and to seek the Lord and to posture yourself to be able to be in a place where you're able to receive somebody to mentor you. You can't be isolated and be with the understanding and thought, well, God said that it's going to happen. He's going to bring it to me.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen that way.
Amen. I'm not saying this is the way God does everybody, but I know with you and I, we were uprooted. We had to almost lay everything down and follow him. We had to go to an area where I couldn't get employment as a nurse. I don't know if you even tried to do anything that made money. But we had to just throw ourselves in God's lap and give our all. And it was quite a few years of sacrifice to be that Elijah, to learn from the Elishas. But they didn't come to us. Just as Elijah didn't chase Elisha down and keep begging him to come to meetings, Elisha made it his business to be Elijah's shadow every step of the way.
He did that. I know for myself personally, when I left my home to come to Christian International to go to ministry training college, I left in the midst of lots of things going on in the midst of my family. But my son and my daughter-in-law said, now, Mom, we want you to be happy. We want you to fulfill your destiny. We want you to be in the middle of God's will and to do what's on your heart. And as recently as this year, Holy Spirit has brought it to me that I needed to go back to my son and his wife and my daughter-in-law to ask them to forgive me for not understanding the turmoil that they were in at the time. So it's a great process.
Yeah, it's not easy to let go of your family.
That's very true. And
particularly when they're our age, and we didn't really have a real solid plan for how we were going to make it, you know. They were probably thinking, you think I was wild as a kid? Look what you're doing. I had a 25-year career as a nurse, and God said resign and go to Florida, where I was basically unhireable. There wasn't any hospitals or anything. And I want to say, too, that I was not in any model of great performance at that time either. I was headed in the right direction, but I was so concerned that I would be the only one that wasn't a prophet, or that I would be the most fleshly one there, that I went on a 23-day fast and came in there weighing like 92 pounds, looked anorexic. But I was just so concerned, and I want people to not put prophetic people that are in training under a lot of pressure demanding that they be perfect already, because they're not. And even people that are more mature that are prophesying, that does not mean, or if they give you a positive prophecy, that does not mean that God approves of all your decisions and all of your behaviors. Just because God is very, very nice, nicer than we think, and gives someone a very positive prophecy does not mean that's a stamp of approval on everything they're doing and thinking. Because they're in process.
You're saying it correctly. I've found myself that when I would receive prophetic ministry, most of what I was eager to hear was that you're coming along, you're on the right path. And that is what was my encouragement and the strength that I was able to pull from and to be able to...
Uh-oh, your mic did that funny thing. Well, I would say that God is so much nicer than we think, and he is so excited about each and every one of his children. But sometimes the prophecies make it sound like it'll happen tomorrow or even today, or that it's going to be soon. And I want you to know that God sees you as you're going to be. And it's reality. You know, he sees the spiritual you. Christ in you is the real reality. And he will prophesy to you through us and make it sound like it's almost a done deal. But that does not mean that he won't have his Holy Spirit tutoring you, taking you through adversity, dipping you in the hot and cold to strengthen you like steel, you know, hot, cold, hot, cold. I don't know if you understand those jokes, but God has a lot of training yet ahead for most of us.
I learned particularly in ministry training college that it was not the book learning that was the most challenging, but it was the school of the Holy Spirit, meaning how the Holy Spirit was molding and shaping me on the potter's wheel as I interacted with the teachers, with my mentors, with the other students, with the other people, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit in each particular area, which would cause me to press harder. And
your mic.
Okay. Is that better?
Try one more time.
It is so sensitive. Is that better?
Yes, we
okay.
Got it.
I can remember myself in my little studio apartment and listening to music, Oldies by Carmen, and a Vineyard CD that I had. And I would lay there on the couch, just me and the Lord, just in his presence, and wave upon wave upon wave of his love and his anointing and his spirit would flow over me. And I, you know, all I could do would be weep. And the Holy Spirit would say to me, Rita, it's your time now. It's your time now. Receive my love.
Mm.
Receive my hand of correction. receive all that I have for you, for my plans are great, and they're for an expected end, and it's for good and not for evil. And in all the process, it was an amazing, amazing release of God's love to me. And I still walk in that route. So it's an ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ and Heavenly Father.
And that's the hallmark of a real prophetic person, whether you're a prophetic businessman or nursery worker or gardener or whatever you are, is that you have such a passion to have an intimate relationship with God. And if you're, you know, if your motivation is just to be able to prophesy, then I question, you know, what's going on between you and the Lord, because we really aren't, first of all, motivated to be able to prophesy to other people. We want to know God. And I also want to say, check your motivation when you're listening to prophetic words. And that's why we so strongly encourage you to record it, to write it out. Because when you write it out, that's when you notice that maybe you were hearing it through your own filter. And you wanted to, you know, so badly to hear about a major decision that you need to make, that you would listen to it through that filter alone. Or maybe you want to do something and you're not sure it's okay with God, and when God's real positive in the prophecy, then you say, oh, well, he's so happy with me, it must be okay. And I would say it's in writing it out and meditating on it, declaring it, that you give the Holy Spirit opportunity to give his interpretation of the word, and then submitting it to the people in authority over you. I've been real surprised when I thought the word said that I was ready to be launched tomorrow, and they didn't see that in the word at all. Have you experienced that?
I have experienced that, and I never quite understood that. But the further that I got along with and pressed in with my walk with Christ and learned of his deep love for me, pretty soon it didn't matter. All that mattered to me was being with him and to live my life the way that he wanted me to live it. And anything else to be able to touch another's life was secondary. The major focus in my heart was to be God's handmaiden, his daughter of Zion. And then by the time I got all finished, I was mother in Zion. I grew up quite a bit and gained some age.
Well, I think sometimes, too, people have been quick to judge prophetic words and have decided it was false because it seemed unattainable, unbelievable, but in God's economy with Christ in you, it was. Or maybe there were circumstances the prophetic word was actually confirming that they were not consciously aware of. I remember once when Prophet Chris, I think it was, prophesied to someone, and he started off with a word of knowledge, which he thought would, you know, just really be sheer, you know, serious confirmation to them. The Lord says, I see the boat in your yard. And the guy says, I don't have a boat in my yard. And so Prophet Chris just kept going because he knew he heard the Lord say that. And the guy had to come back to him later and said, my brother parked his boat in my yard. And God was trying to show him, see, I know more about your business than you do.
Oh,
but it can be challenging when you prophesy to someone and they think what you're saying can't be true.
I've learned that so many people have such low self-esteem because of being wounded and bruised. And that's why it's so critical and crucial for the word of the Lord to affirm and to release emotional healing and to build up the person. So that would mean that it could be a series of times of ministry before the fullness of the total word of the Lord for their life and their destiny is able to be released to them and for them to be able to receive it.
And another thing people need to know that's very similar to that, Rita, is that sometimes the immediate circumstances after receiving a prophetic word seem to go just the opposite. For instance, if God prophesies, you know, I'm just going to calm the seas, they're going to be smooth as glass, and, you know, it's going to be smooth sailing for you with pleasant winds. And then by the time you get home, the storm starts, and you have rough seas and harsh winds and storms, and you think, oh, that prophetic word wasn't true. But see, the truth is that it often is that God doesn't explain all about the storm. He just says, I'm going to calm the seas. And so we have learned, well, I'll speak for myself, I've learned not to covet everybody's prophetic words, because if God says he's going to calm your seas, you know what that means? That means they're going to be rough. There's no need to calm a calm sea. And so a lot of times, God just gives you a prophetic word when you're going to need it.
Exactly. And what I find amazing is when the Lord releases a word to you about what he's wanting you to do, if you don't pursue it and come into agreement with it, mm-hmm. and stir up the gift, like Paul exhorted Timothy to do it, and if we don't do it, then it's not going to happen. We have to be able to participate. God says, I will, if you will.
Okay, and I think that's the main thing, is that God is looking to and fro over all the earth for people that will agree with him. And if it looks impossible, that's God's specialty. Because he wants to do supernatural things for us and through us. And he loves it when we can't do it in our strength. And we have to say, Lord, only in your power can this be done. You know, show me. Show me how you're going to do this, rather than deciding this word is false or I'm inadequate. We're all inadequate without Christ. Amen?
Exactly. It's Jesus Christ living in us. In fact, the word of the Lord says that in my weakness is he strong. And he takes the obedient and the humble one,
mm-hmm.
to be able to raise them up and to begin to flow. One of my biggest concerns that I have as a trainer, and one that is to equip a person to release a prophetic word and to minister prophetically, is to prepare them and their foundation. Their foundation could be one that would hold a 10-story building. Mm-hmm. And they could have fruit that had fed many people. But now, if God is saying, I have more to enlarge your coast, to stretch forth your tent pegs, that means that some of that foundation is going to have to be rooted up and a stronger foundation put there with deeper pilings and greater strength in the foundation itself. And when we go through those processes with our Lord, if we don't know that it'll happen, we become frustrated, and many people will leave their gift and their calling at the altar because they don't understand the process.
Well, people don't want to hear this, but we can tell you stories of person after person that we had the privilege of working with and, you know, being alongside as they were being trained, who found out that they would spend literally years in training, and they really thought, I think, that they were going to be released to do something or go somewhere that year. But it takes a long time to make a minister, and I just used to hate it when the prophets would say that to us, you know, oh, it took me 10 years or 12 years. But most of us have a lot of areas that need polishing and forgotten areas that we don't really know you know, that we still need to ask forgiveness or to deal with until our buttons are pushed again. And believe me, in ministry, your buttons will be pushed again. You have to work with real sheep that really bite, and you'll find out. So it's better to get this polishing, molding, making, you know, be on the potter's wheel before you're famous.
Exactly what you're saying, and it reminds me of Bishop Hammond and the 10 M's that he's so popular for.
Yeah.
And in them, it is God makes the man or the woman before he makes the ministry. And there are guidelines that are essential, that maturity must be before God is going to release to you to his bride. It's all about preparing his bride.
Yeah, it takes that intimate relationship. Well, why don't we prophesy to a few people?
Okay.
And they're waiting. We've got quite a few callers tonight, and we're going to attempt to take the ones that have never received prophetic ministry from us first. So if you have already, if you would please hit that number one again so that your little hand goes down on my switchboard. If you have not ever received prophetic ministry from us, would you just leave your hand up or press the one so that your hand is up if you haven't already done that? I hope that's not confusing. And what we want to do is give this the rest of this first hour to the people that have not received before. And then, but don't go away. If you have, just please wait till, say, 10 after 10 or something like that. So, praise the Lord. I know the
Amen.
Lord has something to say to everybody. I've never met anybody that God wouldn't talk to. All right, area code 615, welcome to the program. Area code 615, would you care to give us your name and maybe a short one-sentence request?
Hi, Carlotta, it's Teresa. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good tonight. Hi, Rita.
Hi. How are you doing this evening? You said good.
Yeah, I am. I'm doing good. I have just been enjoying listening to you. I listened to the last program, and you have such a sweet heart. And, of course, I know Carlotta really well, and, you know, I'm not taking anything away from Carlotta by saying that. I know she knows that, but it just really is precious how you guys work together.
God has given us a bonding and a connection and a respect for each other and for the anointing and gifts in each other's lives that he has sovereignly placed there.
Amen.
Excuse me. And so it makes it easy to be able to release the word and to be partners and to co-labor together for God's kingdom.
Would you care to go first, Rita?
I sure will. Teresa. It's not Teresa. How do you pronounce your name?
Teresa.
Teresa. What? Okay.
Like a tree.
I see. I see how it's written out, but I didn't know. Okay. This is what I hear the Lord saying. The Lord says, daughter, I'm beginning to cause a greater love and a greater awareness of the music and the songs that I'm releasing through you. And I am stirring it up with my anointing and by my hand of pleasure, for I'm going to cause you to begin to release the song of the Lord in a greater level and a greater intensity. And in the midst of the song of the Lord, I am going to give you words of knowledge, of deliverance and healing. For the Lord says that you've called out to me to be used in a greater measure, in a greater way. And I'm going to cause you to stand and release the word, release the song, release the healing. For God says that I will overshadow you with my love and my anointing, and you will release an impartation into many people that have come to receive and to receive the life that I've imparted in you. For the Lord says, in days past, I've unplugged the wells of salvation and the streams of living waters that were blocked and had a great blockage there. But I have brought a supernatural healing and deliverance to be able to release you, to be able to minister to those that have need, so much great need now in this season. So the Lord says, when I began to give you the songs, began to pen them down, for you'll not only sing the other songs that have already been written, but I'm going to give you the ability as a psalmist to write your own songs. So now, Father, I speak your peace over your daughter for the greatness that you have planned ahead. And I thank you, Father, and I can't wait to be able to hear her songs. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
And, Teresa, I just hear the Lord saying, in fact, I heard it earlier today, there's something about a bronze shield. It's like a giant force shield. I don't know why bronze, but I just hear the Lord saying that I have already put this huge shield around you, and I'm coming in tonight to give you a greater confidence in me that I have you totally protected. And it's not that no darkness ever comes anywhere near you, because the Lord says, yes, your light does shine brighter in the darkness. But the Lord says, I'm giving you this word on this one subject tonight to make it abundantly clear from now on and forevermore that I have you shielded and protected. And as I ask you to go into areas that are challenging to you, I want you to always, always picture this shield and know that you have mighty angels around you. You've got this huge bronze shield, and that there isn't anything that can touch you that's not filtered through my fingers first. I have everything under control, and you can go forward in confidence, in real confidence in my protection.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's almost like I could see that shield. It's got carving figures, impressions. I guess he'll show me more about that, but that's awesome.
And I don't know what bronze symbolizes to you, but God will be letting you know.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Oh,
have
you're
a
welcome.
Wonderful night. So good to hear your voice again.
Thank you. Thank you both so much. Praise you, Jesus.
If you all go into our archives, you'll see that Teresa was a huge, huge support and part of this Crosswalk Talk Radio for, what, like a year last year? But I don't think she's ever received prophetic ministry before, so this was your night, sweetie.
Okay.
Okay, good night.
Bye.
Okay, area code 337. Welcome to the program. Your name, please.
This is Kurt Dingle. How are you and Reed?
We're good. We're good. We're always good when we're have the word of the Lord flowing.
Well, I've enjoyed the program tonight. I think a lot of things you said are very pertinent. You know, a lot of times when you get prophecies, you can pretty much expect that you'll be going through some things to get to the point where God wants us to be.
Do you have a specific request tonight?
No, not really.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just hear the Lord saying, Prophet Kurt, that you have positioned yourself under his fountain of blessing. You are under my fountain of blessing, the Lord says. And I am filling you and filling you and filling you, and it's overflowing already. And you've cried out for more, and you've cried out in agreement with me, and you've believed, and you've declared, and you've prophesied. And the Lord says, I have been working everything together. And there are just a few people who would be involved that I am still working out some things in their lives. And if you'll just have that perfect trust in me, that the timing does not indicate that you're doing anything wrong. It's not all about you. The Lord says, I'm orchestrating it for everyone's benefit. And the Lord says, I will not be indebted to you, that everything that I have promised you, it will be that good and better that good and better. And the Lord says, just keep interceding for the others that are involved. And when everyone is ready, then I'm going to bring the whole thing forth. And it's going to be a suddenly, it's going to be like an overnight, like it was for Joseph or Daniel. It's just going to be a suddenly. And the Lord says, don't receive any condemnation, no condemnation about this, because the Lord says, I'm pleased with you. You have studied how to be a good son, and you are a good son, son.
Hallelujah. I bless you this evening, brother.
I bless you too.
Stay strong, stand tall.
Thank you, Lord. Well, that's a command from Almighty God for you to be tall, Kurt, so you better get to work on it.
Well, I hang myself in the closet.
I just have to tease you because he's not tall, Kurt. But if God commands you to be tall, maybe you're going to be tall.
I'm just teasing. Standing tall in God, I don't think it has anything to do with physical size.
I know. I just... one thing I enjoyed about being around the camps of the prophets is that they were able to laugh and have a good time, and it was, you didn't have to be, I don't know if I should say this on the air. I'm going to say it. You don't have to look like 6 miles of bad road to be holy.
I can remember the first month that I was at Ministry Training College. We went to the water park in Panama City. I never saw a bunch of prophets have as much fun as sliding down those slides.
Amen.
And getting sunburn. It was an awesome time to know that there is joy. Yes.
Okay. Well, have a wonderful night, Prophet Kurt.
Lord bless you. Good night.
Okay. All right. Area code 919. Welcome to the program. Oh, they just ducked out. Okay, area code 918, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Would you care to share your name in a one-sentence request? Don't tell us too much.
Yes, my name is Joyce. I'm grateful for the information tonight and how to prophesy in wisdom.
Okay. Do you have a one-sentence prayer request?
I'm praying for my mom.
Oh. Okay.
Father, I thank you. I thank you, my God, that your hand is upon your daughter's mom. I thank you, Father, that you are working all things out for her good. And when there's been a tearing and a ripping and confusion, Lord, that you've shown up as Jehovah Shalom, and your shalom has invaded and caused peace to come again. And my God, I ask in the days ahead that you show up as Jehovah Rapha, healer.
Yes.
Healing from the top of her head to the tip of her toes. Lord, healing in the bruises and the wounds and the hurts of the heart. Lord, healing where the pain is in the back that is so excruciating that she can't sleep at night. I ask, Father, that your hand of deliverance rest upon her now in Jesus' name. And I thank you for healing. And I thank you for completing the work that you've begun in her life. And Father, particularly, I pray for Joyce. Mm-hmm. And I thank you, God, for her heart of compassion and love. And I thank you, Father, that your word dwells in the midst of her belly. And it's in there like a fire, like in Jeremiah. And I thank you, Lord, that there'll be a season where you will let it loose and release. And I thank you for doing it, my God, because it's your plan and it's your timing. And we come into agreement with it, Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Joyce, I just hear the Lord saying that he's taking you in a deeper course on authority, just on your authority. And the Lord says, Joyce, I've given you my spiritual power and authority, and I'm teaching you all the ins and outs of authority. And these circumstances have, of course, motivated you to want to have victory and to overcome and to destroy the plots of the enemy, not only against your mom, but against you and your whole household. And the Lord says, I have everything under control, but I am showing you my hand of authority and my hand of authority through your hand. And as you step out in these things, the Lord says, I'm going to give you keys to operating in more spiritual power and authority. You're going to be, I'm going to be highlighting to you verses about spiritual power and authority, and you're going to begin to understand more clearly the authority that you have over demonic powers, but also, like Ephesians 6:12, over principalities and powers and rulers. You're going to know how to partner with me more clearly, and you're going to look back and say, because of the circumstances, the adversity, the attacks that we experienced, we learned to step out in God's spiritual power and authority like we never would have. And you're actually going to rise up, woman of God. You're going to be able to rise up, know that Christ is in you, that you have everything the Holy Spirit has, and you're going to begin to say, no more, no more, no more. So we just agree with you tonight. We break the power of the assignments of the enemy above or over you and your family and your mom. And we just break the power of those assignments. But the Lord is also saying, daughter, I'm going to be giving you more insight into the ways that the enemy has tricked you into agreeing with him, saying things that would agree with him, and how important it is to deal with every one of those things, so that the power that I have put in your tongue that goes forth like a flaming sword will only be in agreement with me. And the Lord says, I have given you so much power and authority that you have yet to recognize and to walk in, that you've got to realize how strong it is. And every last sentence that you say is important. And so the Lord says, sometimes I'm going to be showing you things you shouldn't have said that, because, see, you enabled, you know, the dark side when you said that. And so I'm just going to be keeping you in a shorter account, more accountability, the Lord says, and you're going to be rising up in more and more authority than you've ever imagined. Will you receive that?
Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I believe anybody can do that, but you have to really be accountable to God to have that power and authority, because when he puts that power in your tongue, then everything you say can make a difference. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Joyce, we have an article or two on the website at www.cwlinc.com on spiritual power and authority that will give you a lot of points from the scripture, and you can see just how many of those you already agree with.
Okay, thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Isn't it wonderful how God gives us these gifts of trust? He's amazing.
God is amazing.
Lots
of
more
sun and the sunset.
It's absolutely amazing. You'd have to be God to give me as much trust as he's given me, because he's got to be able to come behind me and clean up, you know? Just like we did with new people prophesying, they kind of wouldn't quite deliver it in the nicest way, and we'd have to come behind them and clean up. But we're all learning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Area code 404, welcome to the program. Area code 404.
Hi.
Welcome to the program. Would you care to share your name in a one-sentence request?
My name is Sandra, and I just want the Lord to do the new thing. I want to allow him to do the new thing in me.
Okay. Well, that's a wide-open invitation. He loves that. He loves that, Sandra.
Praise God. The Lord says, daughter, I'm opening up new vistas and new venues for you to begin to walk in with a greater strength and a greater understanding of the things of my spirit.
For the Lord says that I have caused you to hunger and thirst for my word, and you have eaten it. First you had the milk, and then you have gone into the meat of my word and began to digest it in a greater measure and a greater way. And the Lord says, daughter, you've even began to break the bread of life to begin to feed the hungry people, that they would know that there is a living God and that he cares for them. And the Lord says that your evangelistic heart is one that I am going to use in a greater measure and a greater way in this season. And you will find that you will know no stranger, and that the love of the Father will begin to flow through you to them. And your words will cause a hungering and a thirsting to learn more of my kingdom. For the Lord says that I'm going to give you strategies that will be able to cause a way to be as a key to unlock the hearts that have been closed and shut. For the Lord says that the process that I have brought you through have brought you to this season now, where I will be able to use you in this way and in this strength. For the Lord says that the processes that I brought you through have not been easy, and they have caused much stretching of your faith and your understanding of the things of the kingdom. But the Lord says that I have your feet on my ancient path, and you shall walk in obedience, and you shall walk with my strength, for I am with you, and I will continue to carry you even across the bridge over the troubled waters that you'll find ahead. But you will be in a safe place because my arms are around you and my love encompasses you, says your God.
And the enemy has worked and worked and worked, Sandra, to set you up. He's worked generation after generation, year after year, to set you up in order to cause you to abort your own destiny in Christ. And the Lord says, I'm coming in with special insights. If you will just follow along with the connections that I'm going to give you, divine connections, the Lord says, you're going to have new insights. And instead of just discerning things on a surface level, you're going to be that one that can go in deep and minister and set the captives free. Because while others are praying over surface things, you're going to be saying, why do I think it's this? And deeper and deeper. And the Lord says, I want to give you those. But the Lord says, the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to take you to some deeper places in your own life and show you the cause and effect. I'm going to show you the devil's setups. I'm going to show you how he laid the groundwork for strongholds in your family. And if you'll start journaling that and let me do that, the Lord says, I want to give you insight after insight after insight. But it's going to take a real cooperation with me, the Lord says. You're going to have to rearrange your schedule a little bit, your budget a little bit. And if you'll let me, I want to take you into this advanced training. And I want to take you into training that will cause you to be a minister that will not minister pat answers, but you'll minister the deep things of God and pull things out by the root, while others you might see are just kind of mowing the weeds. And the Lord says, I want you to cooperate with me and learn how to pull things up by the root and really set the prisoners free. Would you like that?
Yes.
Sounds fun, doesn't it? It is, actually. It is, actually, because when you learn how to cooperate with God that way, there's a satisfaction in it that this person won't have to just keep mowing these weeds forever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord.
That's good.
Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Thank you.
I mean, it's so satisfying to me that I've put over 4 years of insights on Now Faith TV. If you look at our website and click on nowfaith.tv, it is so awesome when God gives us these revelations, often early in the morning, and he'll say, this is that, and he gives it to you. And be sure to write it down, because God will also bring you other people into your life, and he'll say, this is that. You know, prophesy it, pray it, minister it, whatever. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for calling, Sandra.
Thank you so much.